Wherever you wanted to go, wherever your career took you. But you're right. I don't have the courage you seem to have to buck every tradition and just do what I want. I actually care what my parents think of me. I care about what they want. Anger began to simmer in Dimple's veins, even though she knew she'd provoked him. Are you calling me selfish? Rishi stood, his fingertips pressed against the table. I'm calling you unkind. You're right. We are too different. He turned and walked away, the fog swallowing him whole. Chapter 56. Dimple. But can't you wait till tomorrow morning? Celia asked. She was sprawled on her bed, her legs in Ashish's lap. They were both exchanging worried glances that Dimple pretended not to see. She threw her clothes in her suitcase without bothering to fold them. She'd spent the first hour, after she and Rishi broke up, crying alone on the bench, wrapped in the fog. But then she'd wiped her eyes, marched to her dorm room, and taken a long shower, scrubbing her hair until her scalp was raw. That's when she'd decided she wasn't going to wait till the next morning to leave. What would be the point? Celia and Ashish had just walked in 10 minutes ago. Dimple got the feeling Rishi had told them what happened, from the very obvious way they were not asking about him. No, I need to get out of here now. Ashish cleared his throat.
But what about Jenny Lent? The meeting went well, right?
So they had talked to Rishi. Dimple paused for a moment as the pain washed over her, but then she continued as if nothing had happened. Our work is mainly going to be over the computer. I'll be at Stanford in a few weeks anyway, and it isn't too far from here. I can always make the drive. She snapped her suitcase shut and turned around. Celia hopped off the bed. I'm going to miss you, she said. Me too. Dimple stepped forward and they hugged. But we'll keep texting, and we'll be driving distance apart starting the fall. Celia nodded furiously, and when she stepped back, her eyes were all misty. I feel like no matter what roommate I get now, I'm going to be disappointed, she said. Because it won't be you. Dimple swallowed the lump in her throat. Ditto. You know you could change your mind and decide to transfer to Stanford. Celia rolled her eyes. You're right. Like they'll ever let me in that place. Dimple laughed and turned to Ashish, who was standing by Celia now. He smiled down at her, but it was coated in sadness, and it made her chest tighten. His eyes reminded her so much of Rishi's. She had to blink and look away. It was nice to meet you, Ashish, she said, rubbing at her nose. Thank you for your help with the talent show. She held out her hand, but Ashish ignored it and pulled her into a hug instead.
You would have made a great Bobby someday, he said.
And that, more than anything, drove it all home with an ironclad finality. She and Rishi were over. Dimple swallowed and stepped back, smiling brightly. Okay, I'm out. You guys are leaving tomorrow, right? They nodded.
Want me to help you with your suitcase?
Ashish asked, but Dimple shook her head. Celia reached out and grabbed her in a hug again, and then stepped back and put an arm around Ashish's waist, swiping at her eyes with her free hand. Dimple took a deep breath and squared her shoulders, determined not to shed another tear on this campus.
Rishi. Rishi sat on the edge of his bed, his head bent as the phone at his parents' house rang. It seemed a lonelier sound than usual, as if it were echoing around an empty home. He felt like he'd been struck by a freak flare of lightning on a sunny blue-skied day. He had not seen that coming. He'd thought maybe she was unhappy, but that it had to do with losing, with not being able to see Jenny Lind. Rishi had no idea she, that Dimple, that she didn't love him anymore, had likely never loved him. All those things she'd said, was that how she saw him? As some big coward, Too afraid to stand up to his parents? Too afraid to really live life? Someone who wanted to cower and be sheltered from every storm in life? Someone who wanted an easy, placid, dull, nothing existence? Was she right?
Ah, bolo, Rishi beta.
Papa's happy greeting came down the line, startling him out of his cold, tumbling thoughts. Papa. His voice came out husky, unpolished. He cleared his throat. The words were gone.
Rishi?
Papa sounded a little concerned.
Kya baat hai, beta?
Am I making a mistake, Papa? He said, his voice just barely above a whisper. He rubbed the back of his neck, feeling a sudden surge of frustration he couldn't explain. Rishi hopped off his bed and began to pace. In a louder voice, he continued,
I mean, MIT? Engineering? You're the one with the mathematical brain, not me. I couldn't even fix the laptop when it broke last year, remember?
There was a moment of silence, and he knew Papa was hurrying to catch up.
But Rishi, there are many different types of engineering degrees, he said finally, a little wondrously. Tumhe pata hai, you don't have to fix computers to be an engineer. You know this.
Rishi kicked at the foot of his desk, making the whole thing shudder.
But it's not about fixing the laptop!
He threw his free hand up in the air. Why couldn't his father see?
It's everything. It's my brain, Papa. It doesn't work like yours. I'm not interested in mathematics and business and everything else that you do. Do I want to spend 50 or 60 years of my life stuck at Globalcom doing stuff that bores me now at 18? I mean, what will my life look like at that point? Who will I even become if I do that? But there are many good companies besides Globalcom, Rishi,
Papa said, still sounding bewildered.
You don't have to work here. You can go to Google. They're progressive, nah? Many young people enjoy working.
Oh, gods. He just wasn't getting it.
No, Papa,
Rishi cut in, standing still in the center of his room, looking at the bed where not too long ago he and Dimple took things to another level. Where he realized he couldn't live without her, no matter what. The bitter burn of rejection flared in his chest.
What if I want to do my comics instead?
There was a long beat of silence. Rishi waited, his heart hammering.
Comics?
He'd never heard Papa stutter like that before.
Rishi? Why are you saying all this, beta? Where did you get these ideas? Plans sab change kar rahe ho. You're changing all your plans. For whom? Dimple ne kuch kaha?
Did Dimple say something? Rishi wanted to laugh.
Yeah, he thought.
She said a lot of things. But instead of getting into that, he said,
Yes,
she said something. But I was feeling it before that, Papa.
Engineering doesn't feel right for me.
It feels right for you. I'm an artist in my soul, not an engineer, not a corporate machine. Papa exhaled, the sound long and reaching for a patience it currently lacked. When he spoke, his voice was low and controlled. It was the voice Rishi had heard him use in phone meetings when he was trying not to lose his temper.
Ghar aao, Rishi. Then we'll talk about it. Or Dimple?
There's no Dimple, Rishi said softly. Papa and Ma didn't know the extent to which they'd moved their friendship forward, and now Rishi was glad he hadn't told them. And yes, I'm coming home. He hung up and stood in silence for a full minute. Then, grabbing his bag, he thought, Semper Sursum, always upward.
1 month later. Dimple. Was it possible to expire of boredom? Dimple was pretty sure she was close. Her heart rate was way down. Her body temperature had dropped. She was going into standby mode. For the past hour, 60 full minutes, she'd been keeping track. Mama, Rithu Auntie, and, to a lesser extent, Seema Didi, had been sitting in the living room talking about pregnancy. Yes, it was true. Silent Seema and Rithu Auntie's spawn, Vishal, were on their way to producing spawn of their own. Dimple shuddered to think what the creature might turn out to be. Would it come into the world gossiping and nattering on about inconsequential nothings? Or would it come out hidden behind a curtain of black hair, watching the doctors with its inscrutable dark eyes? To be fair, Seema Didi did look fairly happy, happier than Dimple had ever seen her. There was a hint of a smile about her mouth as she looked down at her ultrasound picture, at the grainy blob-slash-glorified amoeba. But jo bhi kaho, delivery is one of the most painful experiences of a woman's life, Rithu Auntie proclaimed, jamming another Milano into her mouth. I screamed so much when I was having Vishal ki, I couldn't talk for 2 days afterward. She sprayed bits of cookie crumbs everywhere. Seema Didi was cringing beside her. But Dimple couldn't say if it was because of the projectile partially digested food or that encouraging wisdom about childbirth. Ha, bilkul sahi, Mama said, nodding with a martyr-like look on her face. They had to extract Dimple with the forceps, you know, very painful. I couldn't go to bathroom without screaming after that. She sipped her chai and then sighed, looking at Dimple. And they're so ungrateful after they come out. Dimple rolled her eyes to herself. So sorry to disappoint, she mumbled, too softly for anyone to hear. She thought, anyway. But when she looked up, Seema Didi was chewing on her cheek to keep from smiling. But still, Rithu, you're so lucky, you know, Mama said, smiling wistfully at the ultrasound picture, which was now in her hands. In 8 months, you're going to be a grandmother. Tum kitni khush kismat ho. Khush kismat. Lucky. Which, of course, implied that Mama was unlucky. She'd gotten a dud of a daughter, who ripped her way out in the world and had done nothing but disappoint her ever since. Dimple and Mama hadn't had a real conversation about any of what had happened over the summer at SFSU with Rishi. Papa had reassured Dimple that he supported her decision to sever all ties with him, even if he didn't know all the details. He just wanted to make sure that Rishi hadn't hurt Dimple. Papa told her to focus on her app and her relationship with Jenny Lind. He told her she'd make new friends and have new things to look forward to at Stanford, that all of this would be a distant memory soon, all the things that parents say to their kids when life deals them lemons. And then there was Mama. She'd looked at Dimple with reproachful eyes ever since she came home from InsomniaCon. She hadn't said anything outright, but she'd sighed so much. Dimple was afraid the house was on the verge of collapse. And she loved to talk about Seema Didi's new pregnancy. Incessantly. Mama talked about domestic life and how much it suited Seema and how happy Rithu was. And in the empty spaces between her words, Dimple heard how disappointed Mama was in her. How much she wished she and Rithu could swap lives. Dimple stood abruptly, tears threatening. That seemed to happen without warning now. Like severing ties with Rishi had left her emotions raw and vulnerable to the elements. Excuse me, she said, aware that her voice was trembling. I should finish packing. Rithu Auntie beamed up at her from her wheelchair, oblivious, though she saw Mama in her peripheral vision frowning. Huh, you're leaving tomorrow now, Stanford? Dimple tried to smile and failed, so she settled for a nod. Rithu Auntie reached in her bag and handed a dollar bill to Dimple, a common practice for elders when younger people were entering a new stage of their life. Oh, Auntie, I can't. Yes, you can and you must, Rithu Auntie said, pressing it into her palm. Khush raho, beti, and best of luck. Dimple managed a half-smile then, thinking, it's a nice sentiment, but happiness is way too tall an order. Dimple sat on the edge of her bed, staring at her suitcase and pillow and her lone box of books. She wasn't taking much else with her on this trip. She'd managed to convince Papa and Mama to let her drive up there alone, but they'd only agreed because she'd promised to come back down for the long Labor Day weekend. Dimple figured she'd get anything else she really needed on that second trip. There was no need to overdo it. All she really wanted were her laptop and books. She purposely didn't glance over at the bookshelf where she'd left the graphic novels Rishi had given her in Two Sisters. She'd read one of them before she left InsomniaCon. It was full of love and magic and the promise of new things. Dimple couldn't handle that right now. She wanted to donate them, but hadn't found it in herself to do that yet. Maybe when she came back home. Dimple looked around at her room, wondering if Mama would even notice she was gone. Maybe she'd be happier without having to think about Dimple every single second, without Dimple's many disappointments in her face all day, every day. Mama entered her room without knocking, just like usual, and set a glass of haldi doodh on the nightstand. Dimple looked away. She couldn't bear to see more disappointment or reproach. She was so done. Things were hard enough. Her own doubts were hard enough, without Mama's constant pressure. "You told me you finished packing," Mama said, sitting on a wicker chair Dimple had bought at a flea market years ago. "I did," Dimple replied. "I just wanted to get out of there. Couldn't stand the baby talk anymore." Mama chuckled. "Oh, they're very excited. First child and grandchild, no?" "Did they leave?" Mama nodded. After a pause, she said, "Sub tika?" Dimple looked at her, feeling a lump in her throat rise. "No, everything's not all right, Mama." Mama frowned, confused. God, the woman was clueless. "Kyo?" "Rishi?" "It's not Rishi," Dimple snapped. Then, more calmly, she said, "It's not just Rishi. It's you, too." She took a shaky breath. Your disappointment is like a cold, heavy blanket around my shoulders, Mama. You can't even look at me without showing it."
Disappointment? Mama said, leaning forward in her chair. "Hi, Ram, Dimple. I'm not disappointed in you."
Dimple felt a tear drip down her cheek and wiped it away roughly.
"Yeah, right. You wish I were more like Seema Didi. Quietly get married to someone you choose. Quietly have a baby. Accept my path without a fight, right? You'd love that."
"I would love that no more than I love this." Mama took a deep breath and adjusted her peacock blue sari.
"Dimple, you are my beti. The only thing I want is your happiness. Bas, aur kuch nahi."
The tears were falling more quickly now.
"But you send me to InsomniaCon to fall in love with Rishi Patel. You want me to get married young and have kids, and I'm giving you none of that. Instead, you have this headstrong child who's determined to be alone."
Dimple began to cry, her breath hitching, her nose plugged.
Oh, Dimple.
Mama came and sat next to her on the bed, putting her arm around her.
"I am not so old. I understand. Aajkal 18 is very young for shadi, for marriage. I want you to have a happy home one day,"
she squeezed Dimple.
"But only when you are ready. Beti, I am not disappointed. I am sad for what I see in your eyes, in your silence, very deep sorrow. Tum usse pyar karti ho na? You love him, don't you?"
Those words were the key to the floodgates Dimple had kept tightly shut for the past month. She turned, and burying her face in Mama's neck like she hadn't since she was in elementary school, Dimple wept. She wept for the moments that she and Rishi would never have. She wept for the love that had just blossomed and would never ripen. She wept for how mean she'd been, the name she'd called him. She wept for her hard-headedness and for a world that couldn't just let her be both a woman in love and a woman with a career, without flares of guilt and self-doubt seeping in and wreaking havoc. No one she knew had balanced both. There was either work or love. Wanting both felt like a huge ask. It felt like wishing for hot ice cream or a bitter sugar cube.
and so she'd pushed Rishi away. She'd broken his heart and decimated her own. "I do love him, Mama," Dimple said when she was able to catch her breath. She sat up straighter and wiped her eyes with Mama's pallu, the loose end of her sari. "But there is no way to make it work without one of us sacrificing something big. And you know how it is. It's usually the woman who ends up sacrificing, and I can't do that. I won't."
Mama sighed and rubbed her back. "You're right, Dimple. Usually it's the woman who sacrifices. But Betty, looking at your unhappiness, I wonder, aren't you sacrificing now? Either Rishi or Kariya, this is the way you see it, but to me it seems cutting off either is like cutting off a part of yourself, hm?"
Mama kissed the side of her head. "Whatever you do, Dimple, I am your mother. I will always support you. I am always proud of you, okay?"
She handed the haldi doodh over. Dimple looked at Mama through watery eyes and saw nothing but love and patience in her smile. Something hard and painful in her chest loosened. Taking the milk, she whispered, "Okay."
Rishi. Rishi stood in the driveway with his parents and Ashish. He had only a small duffel bag with him. The rest he'd worry about later. He couldn't help but draw a parallel to the day he'd left for Insomniacon. The thought pulled forth unbidden memories of Dimple. Her sparkling, watchful eyes, her frown with the crease between her brows, her curly, wild hair. He struggled to push them away. He smiled at Papa, and Papa smiled back. There was no hint of tension. They'd worked it out. Somehow, two divergent points of view hadn't resulted in yelling and screaming and hurt feelings. Somehow, they'd been able to sit and talk about it. And Rishi had come to understand Papa's point of view. He hadn't asked Rishi to give up comics from a sense of arrogance or pride or feeling ashamed of his oldest son's artistic proclivities. Papa was just a deeply practical man, which Rishi could appreciate. Papa had taken a while to convince, but once he got it, he got it. He realized asking Rishi to commit to an engineering program was like asking him to live in a nicely decorated cage for the rest of his life. And when Rishi had sent in his late application to the art program and withdrawn from MIT's engineering track, Papa had actually clapped him on the shoulder, smiled, and said, "I used to paint when I was your age. Sometimes I'd dream in watercolor. You're brave in a way I could never be, Rishi." In the driveway, Ma had already performed the puja with the silver tray, just as she'd done before his trip to Insomniacon. Now she grabbed his arm and looked up at him, tears sparkling in her eyes.
"Call us soon, beta."
"I will, Ma." He hugged her tightly, feeling a heaviness in his throat. This was really it. He would see them only rarely for the next 4 years. This wasn't his primary residence anymore. He reached down and touched her feet, and then Papa's, asking for their blessings. As soon as he was done, Ashish grabbed him in a bear hug and clapped him on the back. The phone in his back pocket jangled. Rishi pulled back and raised an eyebrow. "Celia?" Ashish nodded, blushing a healthy pink. He and Celia had gotten more serious over the past month. Ashish had made several trips up to San Francisco to spend time with her. Papa and Ma were letting it slide for now, but he'd heard them discuss having Celia over for dinner one day soon.
"Bhaiya," Ashish began, itching his jaw. "Are you sure?"
They'd touched on this conversation so many times over the past month, and every time Rishi had put a stop to it. Rishi sighed.
"Yeah, I'm sure."
He looked at Papa and Ma too, although they were pretending they had nothing to do with this conversation. "Dimple made it clear she wanted nothing more to do with me. She said I was too afraid to live life, to take risks."
"Lekin beta,"
Ma started. Rishi held up a hand.
"We've talked about this. Did she have some good points?"
Maybe. He shrugged. Did she always encourage me to be my true self? Sure. But ultimately she called me a coward. He looked around at them. A coward. Papa and Ma sighed, but Ashish grabbed the back of his own neck and huffed.
Look, I think that's totally idiotic.
He glanced at their parents.
I'm sorry, Papa, Ma. I know you guys don't want me butting in and upsetting him.
He turned back to Rishi.
But Dimple wanted you to be your true self, Rishi. She saw who you really were, and she pushed you to be that person. I saw how she looked at you. She loves you. She may have had a temporary freak out, but she loves you. I told you what Celia said. Dimple hasn't seemed the same for the last month. Like she's in this depression or shock or something. And we all know, he gestured at Papa and Ma, that you've been the same way. You've only been half here. You're like a freaking ghost, barely eating, barely sleeping. You guys both love each other. You need to stop being so freaking stubborn and go tell her how you feel.
Rishi silently stared at his little brother and then at his parents. Something in his chest hitched, a seedling of doubt that was rapidly beginning to grow into a proper tree. Ma? Papa? Do you think this too? Ma looked uncomfortable, and Papa shrugged.
Rishi, it is your decision, but...
But you seem so unhappy, Beta.
Ma finished softly.
So unhappy.
Rishi thought he'd been making the healthy choice, not pining after her. Well, not visibly pining. Trying to move forward. Get past all the heartbreak. But they'd still noticed. They'd seen how miserable he was. How truly miserable. It was a battle he'd waged internally every single day, trying to forget the woman who so obviously had forgotten him. When Ashish told him what Celia said, he hadn't paid attention. They were obviously just trying to make him feel better. But what if it was actually true? What if Dimple really did still love him? What if maybe she'd only said those things in anger and regretted them? Maybe she'd seen to the core of his soul and truly liked what she'd seen. Looking at the faces of his family, Rishi knew one thing. He had to find out. Now. Oh my gods, he'd been so stupid. So very stupid. He straightened up and threw his duffel bag in the back seat of his convertible.
I'm going, he said, jumping into the driver's seat. Where?
Ashish asked, his face both hopeful and wary.
To try and win your Bobby back, Rishi said, grinning.
He raced down the tree-lined driveway, the sound of his family's whoops and laughter cheering him on.
Dimple. Dimple was nearly to the Stanford campus when her phone buzzed. She reached into the console, only to realize she'd stuck it in her purse at her last rest stop. Reaching into her purse, she riffled around until she felt the hard edge of her phone underneath a pile of papers. She dumped her purse out on the seat next to her, looked down to see Mama's face flashing on the screen. Dimple laughed. Mama had called her 3 times already, just to make sure she was awake. She didn't get the concept that driving while talking on the phone was almost just as dangerous as falling asleep behind the wheel. She pressed the reject button to send it to voicemail, when her eyes caught on a piece of paper that had fallen from her purse. Glancing back up at the road to make sure she wasn't going to drive off, Dimple smoothed out the piece of paper. It was the 25 expressions exercise Rishi had done on the night of their non-date-turned-date at the top of Bernal Heights Hill. Dimple's breath hitched as she caught sight of the fluid lines, when she remembered how perfectly honestly he'd captured her, how she'd been sure he'd been watching her, studying her. And then their summer together began to come back to her in blinks and flashes, the way Rishi stood up to the Aberzombies for her, the way he'd worked tirelessly to help her make her prototype the best it could be, even though he didn't really care about web development himself. How he'd been willing to make a fool of himself dancing so she could win the talent show. How he'd set up the meeting with Jenny Lind because he knew how important it was to her.
And, in a wave, it came to her. The realization that Rishi Patel loved her so deeply, so truly, that she'd never find that again. No matter how long or hard she looked. For the rest of her life, she'd be comparing men to him. He'd be the yardstick of the perfect relationship, the truest love. Dimple found herself bypassing the exit that would take her to Stanford University. Instead, she kept her eye out for the San Francisco International Airport sign. If she hurried, she could get to him before he boarded his flight to MIT. Rishi had told Dimple during their time at SFSU that he was going to MIT on the 27th of August. She'd remembered because it was the day she'd planned on leaving for Stanford, too. There could be only so many flights from San Francisco to Logan Airport, right? And it was still early in the day. He probably hadn't left yet. She pulled into the airport parking and rushed inside, scanning the monitors for the next departing flight to Logan. There was one leaving in 40 minutes at Terminal 2. Perfect. Dimple ran to the terminal, hoping he'd be there. Her heart was in her throat, pounding a frantic rhythm. She should have texted him first. Or emailed him something. What would she say if he looked at her blankly? Or what if he looked horrified? Maybe she should have thought this through a little more. But Rishi wasn't in Terminal 2. Dimple scanned the crowd twice, three times, but he definitely wasn't there. She walked up to one of the waiting passengers, a young woman reading, and tapped her on the shoulder. "Hi," she said. "Is this the terminal for people going to Boston?" The woman nodded briefly before going back to her book. Dimple looked around, her heart sinking. She was turning around, wondering what to do, when the woman said over her shoulder, "There's another flight to Boston in 90 minutes, Terminal 1. Dimple waited just outside Terminal 1, but he never came. She was sure he'd said his flight left before lunchtime, which meant this was the only other possible flight. Maybe he'd changed his ticket for another earlier day. He definitely wouldn't leave later. Classes started soon, and he'd want to be ready. So he'd gone across the country without even trying to reach out. And Dimple was an idiot. She walked back out to her car and got in, steeling herself against the pain of a twice-broken heart.
Rishi. Rishi found himself on the Stanford campus at the biggest freshman residence hall, where Dimple had told him she was going to be staying. He'd waited in the lobby for 30 minutes, trying to see past the streaming lines of freshmen and their parents, looking for her wild hair, her petite body. But she wasn't here. She'd said she was coming on the morning of the 27th. He was sure of it. He'd made a reminder in his phone when they were at SFSU because he'd wanted to send her a bouquet of flowers for her first day. 40 minutes. 50. He'd texted her about 10 minutes into his wait. "I'm in the lobby. I'm sorry." And she hadn't responded. 60 minutes. She wasn't going to respond. Dimple wasn't feeling any confusion, clearly. She'd made her decision and stuck to it. And Rishi was an idiot. He got up and walked out to his car, his steps plodding, weighed down with misery.
Dimple. Dimple walked toward the Starbucks on the SFSU campus. Maybe she should have just gone straight to Stanford, but she couldn't leave without saying a formal goodbye to this place. Maybe seeing it, touching that fountain, would help her put him behind her once and for all. The sun was a bright ball of glittering fire. There was no fog in the air today. Even Carl was keeping his distance.
Rishi. Oh, what was he doing here? Was he really that much of a sentimental fool? Why hadn't he just gone where he was supposed to go? But as if his brain were completely disconnected from his legs, Rishi found himself being transported to the Starbucks on the SFSU campus. As if he was dumb enough to hope she'd be there, perched on that fountain like last time, an iced coffee in her hands. He blinked. And blinked again. Dimple?
Dimple. Her eyes flew open at the voice, her heart constricting painfully, her brain telling her it was stupid to hope, so very stupid, but it was him. Rishi Patel staring at her with his mouth hanging open. Dimple stood on shaky legs, her breath ragged, disbelief and hope mixing, swirling, bursting in her chest. Her hands were shaking so hard, the coffee threatened to fall to the ground. Rishi?
Rishi. He stood there, staring at her. One word echoed in his brain, over and over, like a songbird's call. Kismet. He was sure he looked deranged, the way his heart was hammering in his head, and his chest and his throat all at once, the way his mouth felt dry, his entire body stiff and cold with shock. He reached out to her, and then dropped his hand midway. I texted.
I went to.
They'd both spoken at the same time, and Rishi stopped and made an after-you gesture with his hand. Go ahead. Dimple bit her lip. God, she was beautiful. So perfect. His chest felt warm and way too tight. There was intense yearning inside him. He needed to tuck her head under his chin and smell her shampoo. That was the only thing he wanted right now. The only thing. But he kept himself rigid, held himself at an angle so as to not get too close.
I...
She tucked a curl behind her ear, and he saw her hand shake a bit.
What are you doing here?
Her eyes searched his, trying to find answers. Rishi tucked his hands into his pockets so he wouldn't be tempted to reach out and stroke her cheek. I go here. Her eyes widened almost comically. God, she was cute.
You're an SFSU student now? What about MIT?
Rishi shook his head and smiled. I had a long talk with Papa about how I'm an artist at heart. He caught a glimpse of Dimple's full-throttle smile, just for a second, before she put it away.
And he was okay with that?
Rishi shrugged. Eventually. He's still getting used to the idea. But I think he wants me to be happy more than anything. Dimple nodded, like she got that.
But weren't you too late to apply for admission?
He rubbed a hand through his hair and forced himself to hold her gaze. Leo Tilden spoke to them. They're big fans of his, so...
So he emailed you?
That big grin was back, but then she tamped down on it again, cheeks flushing a deep burgundy, and looked away.
That's great.
Thank you, he said quietly.
Dimple. Dimple looked at Rishi. For what? He was still looking at her in that unfathomable way. His honey eyes were speaking volumes, but she was too afraid to guess what they were saying. For sending him my pictures. He emailed me a couple of weeks ago. He was actually the one who helped me show Papa how important this is to me. And he helped bolster my courage so I could take this leap. That was an incredible thing you did for me. And I'm sorry I didn't see it before. I didn't see a lot of things. Did he mean... Was he talking about... No, of course not. Dimple blinked, her throat tight. It's okay. It would have been a disservice to the world if you hadn't pursued it, you know? He smiled, a gentle, soft thing like fading light. And what about you and your app? Jenny's been incredible. We're nearing completion maybe another month or two. She adjusted her glasses. Thank you for doing that for me. I don't think I was very grateful at the time, and I'm sorry, too. Rishi nodded slowly, sadly. Maybe we were both too caught up with other things we needed to sort through. He took a deep breath. What are you doing here, by the way? Dimple flushed and looked away, hands tightening around the iced coffee cup. Nothing, she said quickly. Then she took a breath and tried again. She'd come all this way. She'd wanted a chance to make this right. Well,
This was it. This was her chance. Maybe Rishi didn't feel the same way anymore, but she still owed him an apology. Actually, the truth is, I went to the airport first. I thought you'd be there.
Rishi. Rishi's heart began to trip along in his chest. She'd gone to the airport to find him? I wasn't there, he said stupidly. Dimple smiled a little.
Yeah, I see that. You weren't going to MIT after all.
But why did you want to find me? He asked, his breath speeding up. He tried to calm his pulse and was only marginally successful. She swallowed, an audible gulping sound. She looked into his eyes.
I made a mistake, Rishi.
Laughing a little nervously, she held out the iced coffee.
And if you want to throw this at me, I'll totally understand.
Then, softly but firmly, she added,
I was a total idiot. I love you.
There was a pause, because Rishi couldn't think of a single thing to say. His brain had iced over or overheated or something.
I get if it's too late,
Dimple hurried to add.
I just wanted to say I was sorry, and that, you know, I should never have said all those things to you. I was afraid, and...
She shook her head and looked away, biting her lip like she was afraid she might cry. Was this real life? Was this really happening? Surely this was a dream. Rishi pinched his forearm, hard.
Ow!
Dimple frowned and looked back at him.
What the heck are you doing?
Rishi shook his head a little, still utterly in shock.
Wait, but I texted you from the lobby of your dorm, and you never texted me back.
Dimple looked startled.
I...
Then she hit her forehead with an open palm.
My phone fell off my seat while I was driving, and I couldn't get to it, so I left it. It's on vibrate, so I didn't even hear it. And when I got here, I was in a hurry to see this place, and I totally forgot.
She smiled suddenly, big and wide and bright, as if she'd just realized what he'd said.
Wait, you waited for me in the lobby of my dorm? Why?
Rishi stepped toward her, his heart pounding like it was trying to make an escape. He circled his arms around her waist. Because, Dimple Shah, I am stupidly, idiotically, annoyingly in love with you. You were right about so many things. I was afraid. I was terrified of doing what I wanted and of hurting my parents. I was carrying this huge weight on my shoulders without even realizing it, without even needing to. You've made me braver. It's like you have this paintbrush dipped in brilliant mauves and teals and golds, and you just totally redid my monochromatic life. I need you. I need your paintbrush. He pushed a shaky hand through his hair, terrified and exhilarated and breathless.
Wow, I'm not even sure if that made any sense.
Dimple tipped her head back farther and smiled up at him in a way that made his heart do some very interesting things.
It makes total sense. I was the same way. I said you were cowardly, but I was just as terrified. Rishi?
She shook her head, sunshine glinting on her glasses.
I was so afraid of going down the same path as my parents, of ending up in the same domestic life, that I forgot to consider one thing. This is our life. We get to decide the rules. We get to say what goes and what stays, what matters and what doesn't. And the only thing I know is that I love you. It hurts too much to be apart from you.
She stopped, her eyes glittering with tears. Rishi breathed deeply. The loneliness and the doubt and the brilliant pain of the last month finally dissipating. Same, he whispered. And then, louder,
I'm sorry it took me the rest of the summer to realize it and come after you. But I'm here now. You're here now. So what do you say we do this the right way this time around?
Dimple. Dimple grinned,
her ears pounding with the rhythm of 1,000 Bollywood love songs. Yes, please. And she closed the gap between their lips. This recording of When Dimple Met Rishi was presented by Dreamscape Media LLC. Text copyright 2017 by Santhia Kutty Falls. Sound recording copyright 2017, Dreamscape Media LLC. This recording was produced by arrangement with Simon & Schuster, Inc. Thank you for listening. Please check www.dreamscapeab.com for Dreamscape's latest releases.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.